SBS live streams and podcasts are supported by advertising.
See it to believe it. The newest revolution in TV technology. Now at Harvey Norman. RGB. Changing the way you view. See colors that are brighter, deeper, and more vivid. Watch movies with ultra-realistic picture quality, making them more cinematic than ever before. Play smarter with real-time gaming optimization. Incredible clarity every time you press play. Built-in AI assistants such as Samsung's Vision AI, as well as Gemini and Copilot, can automatically adjust picture and sound quality and remove audio commentary, putting your focus on the game. Alongside content analysis, searches and more, your entertainment experience can be truly customized. Experience the new 2026 TV lineup at Harvey Norman today. Go!
You're listening to SBS News. Opposition leader Angus Taylor says a coalition government would remove 75,000 visa overstayers from Australia. In his budget reply, he also announced that non-citizens will be blocked from accessing 17 welfare programs. One Nation says Angus Taylor has copied its migration policy. SBS Chief Political Correspondent Anna Henderson asked Mr. Taylor whether he is moving further to the right to try to court One Nation voters.
No, we're moving to Australians. We know Australians are deeply concerned about the direction this country is going in. We know they're deeply concerned about higher taxes and the lower standard of living. We know they're deeply concerned about an energy system that's not working for them, becoming unaffordable. We know they're deeply concerned about getting access to housing, whether it's to buy a home or to rent a home. And so that's what we are sharply focused on. This is unashamedly about focusing on Australia and Australians and making sure that we have an agenda which is for a fairer, freer, better Australia. And that's what I want to see. That's what I laid out last night.
So in this debate that's now been sparked over who is an Australian, who is an Australian to you?
Well, an Australian citizen, obviously. I mean, by definition, that's absolutely true.
And so when you look at the number of permanent residents in Australia right now, 1.2 million, according to the last census, you're saying they're not Australian to you?
Well, they're not Australian citizens. This is not an argument. It's a statement of fact. And look, I am a huge believer in the power of good immigration for Australia. I have long believed that. I grew up with that belief. I grew up south of here in a town which had thousands of immigrants who came to Australia after the Second World War in the decades following that, and it was an incredible place to grow up. But these people aspired to get ahead. They loved that our country was a country that provided reward for effort, and they became great Australians with often thick accents, and they still loved the cultures they came from, but they wanted to be Australians. And that's the model that I believe in very strongly. And it's the model that I think we need to get back to.
What about the people who come from a country that doesn't allow dual citizenship? Are you forcing them to make a choice to access services?
Well, of course, choice is an important thing that people have to make in these circumstances.
But if they need these services, you're asking them to renounce their citizenship.
Well, they're citizens.
China, India, two of the nation's largest migrant communities. If they're holding dual citizenship now and they need to access these services, you're saying you have to give up your citizenship elsewhere.
What we're saying is that citizenship is a privilege and it comes with privileges. And these privileges are important. If you commit to Australia, we will commit to you. Now, we're not asking people to leave the country. That's not what we're asking. And ultimately, people have to make their own choices. But we very firmly believe that our very generous welfare safety net should be for Australian citizens. This will all be grandfathered, by the way. Let me be clear. Mm. This will all be grandfathered. And so when people come to this country and they don't want to give up their citizenship of another country, that's a choice they make. But there are consequences in choices too. And that will be clear and upfront to people if they want to come to Australia.
Even the language of non-citizens, mass migration, the immediate feedback is that This is demonising people who look and sound different in this country. The suggestion this is a Trumpian approach. What do you say to those people who might now feel like other Australians are looking at them and saying, you're to blame for my economic pain?
That's absolute nonsense. I mean, I tell you who's to blame for Australians not being able to get into a home. It's the government.
So you don't think that language is divisive?
Well, there are Australian citizens and there are others here who are not. That's a statement of fact. I don't think we should ever shy away from statements of fact. We've also seen a level of migration in this country under Labor which is completely unsustainable. I mean, 550,000 people in a year when housing construction has been going backwards is not sustainable. That is very, very clear. So we shouldn't shy away from statements of fact. We are a great immigrant nation. I want us to remain a great immigrant nation, but that is only possible if we get it right. And this is about getting it right, and I want to see more people who come to this country wanting to be Australian citizens and loving the fact that they have become Australian citizens. One of the things I love most in my job is to go to citizenship ceremonies and meet those people. And I tell you what, I am buoyed every time I do it.
I'm glad you brought that up because there is a backlog to get Australian citizenship. Will you commit to address that so people can actually get these services?
Look, we should make sure people can get citizenship as quickly as possible. I think that is important. Once they've met the eligibility conditions, then absolutely, we should make it as easy and as fast as possible. At that point, people make a pledge, and it's an incredibly important pledge. It's a pledge to our country, to our system of parliamentary democracy, to our rule of law, to our basic freedoms, and that pledge needs to be meaningful. It's real, I'm excited every time I hear and see people standing up and giving that pledge. And we should make it as easy as possible once the eligibility conditions have been met.
How are you going to cap net overseas migration? Which group is going to get less access? Will it be international students, working holiday makers, or skilled migration?
Well, can I say up front, the first step is to make sure that we set a number that the country can deal with, particularly when it comes to housing, and we should cap it based on available housing. What we've seen in the last few years is a complete and abject failure by this government where it didn't consider housing as it set, it's put in place its migration policies and settings. And we will not ever allow that to happen again. So what it means, Anna, is each year the housing minister will look at the number of houses that have been built in that year and say, based on that, we can have population growth of whatever the number is, which will have an implication for net overseas migration. It will then be the job of the government to reach that target.
You need to be upfront, though, don't you, about which groups would be affected. Is it international students, working holiday makers, or skilled migrants?
Right, well, we'll get to that, and we'll say more about that before the next election. What I laid out yesterday wasn't the full election policy. It was the direction we are moving in as a coalition. And we will need to get that mix right. We are acutely conscious of the fact that we need certain skills in this country for the benefit of Australia and Australians, and we will continue to maintain that focus.
Part of your policy is also to deport 75,000 people who overstay their visas. Mm. How will you do that?
Well, we've put funding aside to support that, but the first message...
How much funding?
Well, there's significant funding in the budget, and there's already significant funding in the department to do some of this work. So
you see it being inside the department. I mean, in the US, we've seen ICE, for example, targeted migration approach. Do you see
Not, that's not what we're proposing here. We're using the existing law enforcement agencies to do the job, and that's extremely important. We're not proposing to create some kind of new agency to do this. And look, the first point to make is that if someone has exhausted all legal avenues of appeal to stay in the country, they are an overstayer, and it's not appropriate that they stay. There are many, many people who want to come to Australia, and it's not appropriate that someone who has exhausted all their avenues for appeal should stay they're jumping the queue when they do that. That's very clear. And so we've got to make the whole system fair, and it's unfair for those people to overstay.
You've also made a big, bold tax policy overnight as well, yep, about indexation to inflation. $22.5 billion is the price tag. What are you going to cut to pay for it?
Well, we've been very clear. I was very clear in the speech about the areas of waste from this Labor government.
You're confident add up to...
I am very confident. I am very confident they more than add up. And let me explain this. Labor is funding its spending growth with tax increases that they're not taking to an election, that they're not even announcing. Australians' tax rates are rising because of inflation. And for many Australians, this will only become apparent when they look at the bank account and they say, hey, I'm not making ends meet. That's what this insidious tax, this inflation tax, this bracket creep does to Australians. So it's got to come to an end. An unannounced tax like this, a tax that hasn't gone to an election, should not be happening. Now, it's then important for governments to live within their means. And right now we're seeing a Labor government that's spending billions each year on corporate welfare, on giving money to companies, for instance, under one of their funds, to a technology company based on the west coast of the United States. We're seeing a climate bureaucracy that they've established, and emissions aren't coming down. The net zero authority, and emissions aren't coming down in any meaningful sense. A whole housing bureaucracy and housing supply is going backwards. There's billions and billions and billions of spending in all of this. It's not achieving the outcomes. It needs to go, and we need to contain taxes in this country because Australians are hurting.
Just finally, you did upset the Iranian community in Australia by talking about Iran being a bad country. Were you wrong to make that comment? Do you apologise to them?
Well, it's a rotten regime.
It's a
beautiful country with beautiful people in terms of the geography and the people. And I mean, don't get me wrong, I firmly believe that. But it is a rotten regime, and sadly, it is a regime
from Iran.
Well, it is a regime that has inflicted atrocities on its own people. And it should be condemned. But the people, there are magnificent people from Iran. I've met many of them in this country, and they are great Australians and are making an enormous contribution.
Do you understand why they took offence?
Well, I apologise if they took offence, but the regime is rotten, and I made that point. I made that point in the interview. I have political opponents who like to say things. They like to say things that I didn't say, or omit things that I did say. That's how it works. But I firmly believe this is a rotten regime with many magnificent people, some of whom have come to this country and have and will continue to make an enormous contribution.
Given the rise of Pauline Hanson and her party, would you be prepared to go into a coalition with her?
Oh, look, honestly, this sort of nonsense about forming some kind of coalition, they've won one seat in the House of Representatives, and they've got one other person who's moved from the National Party. I mean, but look, I have huge respect for many of the people who are planning to or have been planning to vote for One Nation. I realise that we have lost trust with people who have voted for us in the past or considered voting for us in the past, and we have to regain that trust. And an important part of the speech I gave last night is to say we're going to be honest with Australians about where the situation is. There's been, in the past, I think, a lack of honesty from politicians, and I think that has to change. And so I will continue to show huge respect to voters who have lost respect, lost trust for us. I want that to change.
She says she hasn't spoken to you since 2021. Is there a reason that you both haven't engaged?
That's fairly selective memory, but I have engaged with her over the years, and I'll engage with her in the future. Look, I engage with all my colleagues. She's in the Senate and I'm in the House of Reps, and you tend not to run into each other so much when you're in different chambers.
We're still waiting to hear the full extent of the cuts and savings you intend to make, but can I take this opportunity to ask, Will you commit not to make any cuts to the ABC or SBS?
Look, our plan is in those areas that I've outlined. And those areas I've outlined more than compensate for Labor's toxic taxes. They more than compensate for what we need to do to make energy affordable and abundant in this country again. They more than compensate for our initiatives to get young Australians into a home. That's where we're at. And, you know, as I said, they are very significant savings from very significant waste under this government.
So no plans to reassess
that, part of the offsets that we have talked about and are planning for the initiatives that we've announced.
See it to believe it. The newest revolution in TV technology. Now at Harvey Norman. RGB. Changing the way you view. See colours that are brighter, deeper and more vivid. Watch movies with ultra-realistic picture quality, making them more cinematic than ever before. Play smarter with real-time gaming optimization. Incredible clarity every time you press play. Built-in AI assistants such as Samsung's Vision AI, as well as Gemini and Copilot, can automatically adjust picture and sound quality and remove audio commentary, putting your focus on the game. Alongside content analysis, searches and more, your entertainment experience can be truly customized. Experience the new 2026 TV lineup at Harvey Norman today. Go!